I'm about to interview a young man who has seen millions of people come to Jesus in recent years in Africa. It's the favor of the Lord.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me boil everything down into the simplest possible terms. All you need to know is that God is with you and that the favor of God is upon your life and everything else will fall into place. If God is pleased with you and God is smiling on your life, everything else, relationships, finances, ministry, things coming your way, everything will fall into place. There will be challenges. There will be mountains to climb. There will be tough times. But if God is with you, if the favor of God is on your life, you have nothing whatsoever to fear. And everything he's calling you to do will fall into place. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us this Tuesday on The Line of Fire. Tuesday is a day of teaching, opening up the word, talking about practical living, apologetics, those kinds of things. And as I was giving prayerful thought to the program today, the theme that rose to my heart was favor, the favor of the Lord. I've got a very important broadcast tomorrow, things I'm going to be sharing with you about what God has promised to do and taking hold of it. I believe it could be a transforming broadcast as you listen to it. Thursday, of course, we'll have our thoroughly Jewish focus, and I'll be joined by a special guest as well. But today, the favor of the Lord. How do you walk in divine favor? What does it take to walk in divine favor? How do you get the favor of God in your life? Is it an automatic thing for all believers? Why do some seem more favored than others? What does it mean to have God with you? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. We're going to open up the Word. We're going to share some testimony. We're going to get practical as well. And I've asked a guest to be on with us. God has gifted him now with an extraordinary open door of ministry. He's seen amazing fruit, and he's also a spiritual son. He was one of our grads from our school of ministry that was in Pensacola that's now located right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So I want to bring onto the broadcast with me, actually for the first time having him on, Daniel Kalenda. He is now leading CFAN, Christ for All Nations, ministry that he was raised up in through evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Daniel Kalenda, great to have you on the show today. Thanks for calling in.
Hello, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, we've just got a couple minutes before our opening break, but you just came back from Burkina Faso in Africa. It's an impoverished nation, but God's moving there. What's the overall population of that nation, Daniel?
Right around 16 million people.
And how many people total actually came to the meetings that you had there?
Well, I don't have any way of knowing exactly how many came, but I can tell you how many decision cards we collected from people who said that they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Over the course of 5 days, we counted 429,000 of those decision cards, a little bit more than that.
That's actually
a percentage of the entire population of the nation. It's amazing days of harvest.
So that's almost like 1/30. That would be like having meetings in America and seeing something like 9-10 million people come to faith. And these people, now you work to get them plugged into local churches and all of that. Daniel, 30 seconds, what drew the people? Was it that you're famous? Did you have a big advertising campaign, pay media a lot of money? What drew the people?
I think if you were to ask me and ask most of the people that I heard from, they said that it was the miracles. It was the testimonies of signs and wonders and healings that began on the first night and then continued to grow throughout the week. And we find everywhere we go that that's really the drawing card. People come because they realize that Jesus is alive, that he's showing himself real, and they can receive from him.
Wow, tremendous. All right, Daniel, we come back. We'll find out a little bit about your background, how the Lord opened up this door, and talk about the favor of the Lord in action.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today as we talk about walking in the favor of the Lord, walking under the smile of God, walking in such a way that your life pleases Him, and that not as a result of works, but as a result of relationship and the goodness of God, there is divine favor, and that divine favor enables you to make a difference in this world. That's why we're here, not just to survive, not just to make it, but to make a difference. As God touches us, we touch this world. That's how the gospel works. 866-34-TRUTH online. AskDrBrown.org. My guest, evangelist Daniel Kalenda, who now leads Christ for All Nations, CFAN, a ministry birthed by German evangelist Reinhard Bonnke decades ago. Daniel, we got to know each other when you were a student at our ministry school in Pensacola, but you were raised in the faith, and you've got several generations of preachers in your family. How was that growing up in that environment?
Well, Dr. Brown, it seems to be the story of my life that I have been the very fortunate beneficiary of other people's sacrifice and faithfulness to the Lord. I come from five generations of preachers on my father's side. My mother's father was a pastor. My wife's father is a pastor. So you could say I've been thoroughly pastorized at this point. But it's been, you know, that's the way it was growing up in my home. I saw that example of my father, of my grandfather, who were very, very godly, strong men of God. And from a very young age, I saw people who were serving the Lord around the world in evangelism and in missions. And as a little boy, 7, 8 years old, I began to say that when I grow up, I'm going to preach the gospel in Africa, not even realizing completely what that would mean or entail. But as I grew older, I began to see the unfolding of that in ways that I could never have imagined. But I thank the Lord for that example that was set for me early on.
And Daniel, you walk with a consciousness of God's favor. Many people don't. They walk with a consciousness of something's wrong with me, or God's angry with me, or I could never work hard enough to please Him. What's it like to walk with a sense of having the pleasure of God on your life? Obviously, it doesn't give us a license to sin. Quite the contrary, just like the love of a spouse gives more love in return. But what's it like to walk with a sense of the favor of God being on your life?
Well, I think it just begins with understanding what Scripture says about us and about how God feels about us, and believing that and receiving that. That's faith. And then when you really have received that deep down in your heart as a natural outgrowth of that love for the Lord, there's an obedience and there's a sense of wanting to please Him and to make Him happy. It's sort of a circular process where you receive God's favor. In turn, because of that favor, you please Him. Because you please Him, He pours out more upon your life. As it says, he that's faithful and little, to him will be given much. So it seems to be ever-increasing favor and ever-increasing blessing from the Lord.
Yeah, and it really is that cycle of life. You're absolutely right. Now, we hooked up in Florida a few years back. You were involved with some other grads from our ministry school in a church plant. So you were active in ministry. You were a worship leader. I always heard great reports about your, as you play and sing and lead people into the presence of God, you've been preaching. And then you got a ministry opportunity to be the personal assistant of Reinhard Bonnke. Many of our listeners know him, many don't. But I believe he's preached to more people face-to-face than any other human being in history. Very consumed with Jesus, making Jesus known, making disciples, seeing the Lord lifted up. And you told me that you got a job working as his personal assistant, and I could not believe it. What a privilege, what an honor. And I was so proud. One of our grads is going to be his PA. Was that kind of a glorious job, being a personal assistant, or did you have to make some sacrifices to do it?
Well, to be honest, even though it may sound like a great opportunity, and of course it was a very a lowly job in a sense. I mean, it was dealing with the day-to-day things, unpacking suitcases, getting water, cleaning things, running errands. I mean, it was simple things. But, you know, in one place, the Scripture describes Elisha as the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And interestingly enough, it was that position of service that Elisha took next to the man of God that positioned him to receive that mantle when Elijah was taken into heaven. And I really feel like that's what happened with me as I was serving Evangelist Bonnke in the day-to-day things, the most mundane tasks you can imagine. It positioned me in a place to receive a mantle from him. And I'm not talking about some super spiritual, ethereal thing. I'm talking about what I received from watching his life and his example and how he preached and how he ministered and his faithfulness and his integrity. It began to wear off on me, and especially his passion for the lost. Mm. And after spending some time with a guy like Evangelist Bonnke, you just simply cannot go back to Christianity as usual. You realize that there is a world to win, and you realize that God can do great things through ordinary people. And after that, I just couldn't go back to life as usual anymore. I had to pursue something greater that the Lord had in store.
All right. When you talk about being with him and seeing his passion for the lost, in other words, he was not a professional preacher that did this for a living and that got some rise out of being in front of big crowds and being the big man. He was motivated by something else. What was it like? What made his heart beat?
Well, I think ever since he was a little boy, you know, kind of similar to my story, that the Lord put a burden on him to go preach the gospel in Africa. And, you know, ever since a child, he had burned with that passion. When he graduated high school, as quickly as possible, he went to the mission field, and he began to preach. And even though at the beginning it was not very successful, he did it faithfully just because of a burning passion for the Lord in his life. And, you know, I've been around him and spent so much time with him that I can tell you that his passion for souls is not something that he turns on when he goes onto the platform or mm-hmm. when he writes a book. It's something that he lives day in and day out, sitting there at the breakfast table with him. He just bleeds, his heart bleeds for the salvation of the lost, and his heart beats for that. And I really feel like that is a reflection of the heart of Jesus. I feel like that's what happens when a man or a woman draws close to the heart of God, close enough to hear his heartbeat. Because if you can lay your head on his chest in love and hear the beat of his heart, it sounds like this: salvation, salvation, salvation. And I say that there's no way that a person can truly love Jesus and not love what he loves. And what he loves is the world so much that he gave his life for it. And I feel like that passion for the lost should be characteristic of every child of God.
And Daniel, of course, I didn't get to know Reinhard Bonnke the way you have. We've had some wonderful times in fellowship, and now he's in his early 70s, just as passionate as ever. In fact, his Facebook page is, what, like 300,000+ people, and he just every day has these wonderful devotional thoughts. So still burning, just knew it was time to make some ministry transition so that there'd be long-term health for the organization that he founded. But spending time with him, yeah, that's what always impressed me, that he was always the same passion, same fire, same hunger, same desire to see people lost, which raises a question for us here, especially in America. Do you think that most of us here, I'm talking about genuine believers, that we really believe people are lost, that there's a consciousness of lostness and the real need to salvation, or do we just want to get them to join our religion?
Well, you know, it's a really good question and something I've thought about quite often, because if we really believe what we say we believe, which is that when a person dies without having found salvation through Jesus Christ, that they spend eternity separated from God, we really truly believe that, then I think we would live differently. I think that it would burn in us differently. I think that the emphasis of our ministries and of our churches would radically change. I think in some ways we think of hell and even of eternal things in general as almost a fairy tale. We say we believe it, we talk about it, we preach about it, but when the rubber meets the road, there's not a lot that backs it up in true life. And, you know, having said that, when you look at a guy like Evangelist Bonnke, who burns with that passion for the lost, I think it's simple. I think he really does believe it. He's not just saying that. He burns with the passion because he truly believes what the Word of God says and what he says he believes.
Yeah, and that's something I've meditated on for many years. Do we really believe what God says about himself, about salvation, about eternity, about the gospel? And Daniel, we've just got 45 seconds before the break. But the Lord opened up the door. You just served faithfully as a personal assistant. You did it joyfully. The Lord spoke to Evangelist Bonnke about a calling on your life, and then you began to preach. Same message, the same Jesus, And he began to draw crowds, and he began to save and heal. 30 seconds, Daniel, what did it feel like the first time you saw God use you like that in Africa?
I'll tell you, it felt surreal, and it was a living illustration of something that I carry with me every day of my life, which is that it's not about me, it's not my doing, it's all about Jesus, and I give him all the glory.
Yeah, and I remember shooting you a note, just thrilled to see how God was using you in Africa, and you immediately shot a note back to me and said, Jesus has captured my heart. It's easy. All right, we come back. I want to talk a little bit more on what God's doing in Africa, the favor of God, and then what God did in Daniel as he studied with us years back. I think you'll find it fascinating.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about the favor of the Lord, but I felt it would be good to start the first half hour talking with a young man who is enjoying the favor of the Lord in terms of seeing a massive harvest of souls taking place, especially in Africa. Daniel Kalenda now leading Christ for All Nations, CFAN, the organization founded by evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you want to ask me questions about walking in the favor of the Lord or scriptural keys or principles, I'll be doing that later in the broadcast online, askdrbrown.org. Daniel, how old are you now?
30.
30. All right. An old man. Man, I didn't realize you hit that hit that pinnacle already. And how long have you been married?
For 9 years now.
9 years. How many kids?
Four.
And
as of just a couple days ago, I had the fourth one.
Are you serious? Man,
yeah.
I am just out of the loop. All these breathtaking things happening, and I don't even know about them. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
When I spent time with you and your wife, I guess it was last year, she mentioned that you guys are on a continual honeymoon. Four kids now. You have to travel a lot, but the smile of God's on your family.
Amen, and we're grateful for that.
All right, Daniel, a lot of people hear these numbers, and they're stunned, and they think it's just, you know, just all empty and things like that. But what are the largest crowds that you've preached to in Africa?
Upwards of 750 or 800,000.
My. And by the way, friends, if you ever see the panoramic pictures that are taken, you'll say that's 2 or 3 million people easily. But they have a very, very systematic way of measuring and the demographics, and the further away you get from the platform, the numbers are lower, and they do it by acre and things. So it's always lower than the government estimates and things like that. And then there are decision cards so that people can be asked to pray. Do you tell them that there has to be repentance, Daniel? Do you tell them that they need to turn away from sin and that Jesus becomes their Lord? Or do you just tell them to add Jesus in and have a better life?
No, we absolutely emphasize repentance and that Jesus is the only way. We have 5 nights where we preach the gospel every night, and we approach it from every imaginable angle so that at the end of that week, someone who's been there will have heard the gospel preached to them in its clearest form over and over again. They would have repented from sin. They would have turned from idols. They would have made restitution for things stolen. They would have burned their fetishes and their idols, their amulets. They would have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They would have forgiven their neighbors. And it's really just the full gospel impact in action.
Yeah, and as I was in meetings in 89, just as an observer taking things in, I was struck by that when the preaching of restitution, repentance came in, and people bring in stolen items that to return, and then burning idols and things like that. And then afterwards, you've been working with churches before you get into a city for weeks or months. You have everyone then immediately hooked up with a local church with the goal that first Sunday morning, they're in the churches. Do you actually see results like that?
Yeah, we do. In fact, let me try to put it into perspective. We spend more than half of our budget for every campaign goes directly into the follow-up system. We train the churches in advance, and we have so many people training to be counselors that we usually hold those training sessions in stadiums. We'll pack a stadium up. We've had up to 100,000 counselors in a single in a single event. So we take the follow-up very, very seriously. The churches are responsible for the discipleship, but we do everything within our power to equip them and train them and release them to do that effectively.
And what have you seen Jesus do in terms of healing miracles? I know you just preach him as Savior, healer, deliverer, lift him up, and let him do the work. What kind of things have you seen with your own eyes?
Well, you know, people ask me about healing all the time, and I'm often disappointed when I hear people teaching healing as though it's some lofty thing that only a few super Christians can attain to. I see it as the easiest part of what I do because Jesus really is the one that takes all the responsibility for it. I've seen people come back from the dead. I've seen people that were born blind healed. I've seen people have parts of their body grow right before our very eyes. I've seen people delivered from demonic possession. Cripples walk, the blind see, the deaf hear in almost every single campaign. It's a most normal thing for us to see these incredible signs and wonders every single night of every single campaign in every single place where we go, because it's just Jesus, and he's the same everywhere and throughout history.
Yeah, and really, friends, if you read the scriptures, put the Bible down, and go to a meeting like this, this is what you'd expect to see, that Jesus is doing it, and he gets the credit, the praise, the honor, and glory. And when the campaign's over, people are talking about Jesus. Hey, Daniel, we've just got a couple more minutes. I appreciate you grabbing some time to be with us. But you've told me many times that you were deeply impacted by the Lord as you were in our school of ministry during the Brownsboro Revival. Let our listeners know the impact that our same team continues to teach and train folks here. And then for everyone else, we are in a special fundraising mode these weeks to meet some major radio obligations and to send a message to our stations that we're in this for the long haul. Talk to our listeners from your heart, because you've shared some wonderful things with me privately. Let everyone else hear your perspective.
Well, I really wish I had more than a couple minutes. I wish I had a whole show to talk to you about it, because it's made, you know, the school of ministry and your ministry has made such an impact on my life. You know, there's a saying, I don't know where it came from, but it says you teach what you know, but you impart who you are. And my season under your teaching, especially in the Bible school, I have to say was one of the most formative times of my entire life. And it's because that what you did was you didn't just teach wonderful things, which you also did that, but you imparted something through your life to the students that transcended textbooks. And, you know, three things come to mind right away, which is integrity and personal holiness before the Lord. I always admired your courage and your willingness to stand up for what was right, even in the face of persecution and criticism, and also just the unrelenting passion for God and for the lost and for his kingdom. I talked a bit about Evangelist Bonnke's passion, but I saw that same thing from you, Dr. Brown, and I can still hear your voice praying in those chapel services saying, give me souls or I die. You know, strip away our complacency. These kind of things that really bubbled up inside of me and helped to form who I am today. And, you know, I really am thankful for this radio show because it's allowing you to impart these things that our generation desperately needs to hear to a much wider audience than just a few students in a classroom. I download these podcasts on my iPod. I take them around the world. I listen to them. They build up my faith. They edify me. They encourage me. You know, over the past several months, I've been getting into some heavy kind of intellectual philosophy book. And I have to be honest, as I would finish reading these things, I would feel like my spirit was wrung out. Though my mind was full, I felt like my faith had waned. And the Lord spoke to me a couple of weeks ago in a dream, very clearly, so clearly that it woke me up. And he said, Daniel, feed your faith. And I woke up from that, and I decided to put those things away and to begin to immerse myself in things that build my faith. And when I think of that, I think of you, because you are one of the few scholars that I know that not only has the ability to impart knowledge and things that we need to hear and we need to know, but at the same time, it simultaneously feeds our faith. And it's such an encouragement to me.
Well,
so
Daniel,
to say to all your listeners, please support Dr. Brown and this ministry because it's making a difference in people's lives.
Daniel, God bless you, man. It's a privilege to be involved with you in the ministry. We're so proud of what the Lord's doing. The website, cfan.org. God bless you, man of God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. Boy, I was surprised. Well, you know, when I ask folks why we should be on the air or what impact we've had on their lives, I always get blown away by what they have to say. I just don't know a different way to do it than to just ask honestly, what role have we been able to play in your life? And I just sit here and get humbled as I hear of God's grace that's at work to change lives. And Daniel had so much to say, we ran out of time and didn't even give you a number to call and respond. So I just want to say again that if you've been praying and thinking of standing with us, or if you simply believe in what we're doing and want my voice to be on the air in your city, then we do need to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. No hype, no gimmicks. Just asking you to stand with us if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe that my voice is making a difference in lives. 1-800-278-9978. Online, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can click to donate or become a monthly torchbearer. And my thank you to each of you that joins with us. I want to send you a signed copy of my Revolution book as our way of saying thank you. You know, you may have heard what Daniel had to say, and you're thinking, oh, okay, how can that be? Well, why not? Just a question for you. Why not? If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if this is about Jesus, if this is drawing people to him, you say, well, you know, it's by faith, not by sight. Well, hang on. Jesus performed miracles and then said, believe me, based on the miracles. And in the book of Acts, after his resurrection, they preached and miracles happened. And they said that God was confirming his word and the Holy Spirit was testifying. We're still believing in an unseen God. We're still putting our trust in someone that we haven't seen face to face. We haven't physically, personally witnessed his resurrection, yet we are believing. And I want to say on a very fundamental level, that one of the key things to do to have the favor of God in your life, the smile of God in your life, one of the key things to do is to trust him, to believe him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those that come to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sometimes we're trying to work so hard to get God's favor. We're trying to try so hard and be better and better and better so one day we'll be good enough for God to like us. We'll never attain that. We'll never, ever attain that. We will never have the perfect day where God says, okay, I can finally look at you because you have been so perfect. Yes, he calls us to holiness. Yes, he calls us to purity. Yes, he hates sin, and sin is destructive and ugly. At the same time, he loves us dearly, which is why he sent his son to die for us. And receiving God's favor, which is what I want to focus on today and why I asked Dan Calenda to join me so that we could talk about walking in the favor of God and seeing the fruit of it and seeing the blessing of it and seeing the reality of it, recognizing God's goodness, recognizing his love and his kindness and his desire to bless. Friends, the favor of God is not attained by our wonderful, amazing works and efforts. I prayed 8 straight hours. I fasted 30 straight days. I witnessed to 50 straight people on the street corner. Therefore, God has to love me. No, it starts in a much more fundamental level. Think of your parents with a newborn child. What does that child have to do to earn your favor? How about just be? You know, think of your kid's growing, you're just watching them and enjoying your kid. With our grandkids, what do they have to do to please me? Just be my grandkids. Now, out of that relationship, knowing that we're loved, out of that relationship, then we live to please the Lord. Then we live in a way that's in tune with his heart. But it starts with knowing that he sent Jesus to die for us, not because he hated us, but because he loves us. And he wants to be in fellowship with you. Almighty God wants your fellowship.
Fire we want, for fire we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What does it look like to have the favor of God on your life? What does it look like to have the smile of God on your life? Everyone goes through challenges. Everyone goes through difficult times. Everyone gets attacked by Satan in different ways. Everyone gets bombarded by this world. No one just dances through unscathed. And yet, the favor of God makes a massive difference. What does it look like? How do we walk this out? As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, all you need is the favor of God on your life and God being with you. Everything else will fall into place. Everything else. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 online, askdrbrown.org. Let me give you a word picture of what it looks like, or try to paint a picture for you. You've all seen in some type of concert or play or something like that, that there can be a spotlight on someone, and that spotlight follows them wherever they go. I actually was with a friend. I was doing some classes over a weekend and then stayed over while a friend was preaching at a mega church. It's a gorgeous multi-million dollar facility. I had preached in their previous building, but not in their new building. And they actually had something where whoever was preaching not only had the standard high-tech wireless mic, you know, the best thing available with the earpiece or the over-the-ear piece, but it had something else that he had to put. I think they put it on his back collar of his suit jacket. But wherever he walked, there, because the sanctuary was basically in the round, so the platform is in the middle, wherever he walked, that there would be a light that would shine on him. It may sound like a superstar kind of thing. It didn't strike me like that in terms of the way it actually looked, but I had never seen that before. And no, I don't think Paul had one either. But the point is, it gives you this picture of this light being on you. And just during the break, I was thinking of this image, that it's dark out, it's cloudy out, the weather is lousy, but there's just a ray of sun coming through on you. And wherever you go, it's sunny and it's warm and it's shiny and it's nice. Oh, there's stuff happening around you. I'm just trying to paint a picture of favor. The favor of the Lord makes a difference. There are people in Scripture, and when they please the Lord, when there was something in their relationship with God that was pleasing to Him, favor was on them. And when favor was on them, everything else fell into place. When favor was on them, blessing came. When favor was on them, adversity turned around for good. When favor was on them, if they had a message, the message got out. If they had a certain gift, the gift was exposed to others. If they had a certain calling from the Lord, the calling would be manifest. I know for me, the number one thing I need is the favor of God. I know that if Abba Father is pleased with me, and He says of me what He said of Jesus, "This is my Son, with whom I'm well pleased, listen to Him," then I will have an audience wherever I'm supposed to have an audience, and I will speak to whoever I'm supposed to speak to. And whether it's to princes and kings or whether it's to a beggar on the street, it's the same message, it's the same Jesus, it's the same opportunity to serve Him. This is my Son, this is my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased, listen to them. Isn't that how God opens doors? Isn't this how people like Paul or John Bunyan write letters or write books while in prison? Not some luxury prison for the very, very rich where they get to almost live in a country club environment while confined. No, I'm talking about an ancient prison or a medieval prison or a prison in 17th century Europe, dark and dank and bug and rat infested and people chained and people deprived of what they need, sometimes freezing in the winter, burning up in the summer, and without proper care. And from that environment, they write letters or books. And those letters and books are read by millions of people in multiple languages around the world. Why? The favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. The smile of God. I want you to think of this. Jesus said in John 8:28 that he always did what pleased his Father, that the Father was always with him because he always did what pleased him. And he said, well, I can't live in that perfect obedience. But we please God by loving him and seeking to do what's right. And when we fall short, we're quick to repent and to turn to him because we want to please him and we want to do his will. And when we do that, favor comes. I've seen business people that honored the Lord and did things the right way, and everyone tells them this won't work, this can't work, you're crazy, but they've honored him, they've given to him with generosity, they've given to meet the needs of others, they've put him first, they've operated with integrity, and they have supernatural favor. And things happen through them, and you scratch your head and say, how in the world did this happen? We've seen it happen with people, you know, writing books, and something happens with the book, and next thing it becomes a national bestseller because they did it to honor the Lord. We've seen it with people writing songs. And again, I'm just talking about tangible things that can be seen. People writing songs, and no one's ever heard of them. And next thing, you know, churches are singing this all around the world. The favor of God. God can open the doors, friends. God can make the difference through us. I'm being as practical as I can when I say that. It's not either having favor of the Lord or being disciplined, or having favor of the Lord and working hard, or having favor of the Lord or believing him. No, of course we seek to please him. Of course we seek to be disciplined. Of course we seek to work hard, but not so as to earn favor. It's as love reciprocates. Love produces love. John writes it, we love because he first loved us. His love activates that in us, and then in response, we love him back, and then it triggers this wonderful cycle of love. One leader years ago basically put it like this, that we worship the Lord, we receive from him, we are touched by God, now we minister to hurting, needy people, and they are touched, and they are transformed. As a result, praise goes back up to God, and there's the cycle of life. His spirit, his power works through us. We touch hurting, needy people. They in turn praise him. And it's just this constant cycle of life coming down and life going up and life coming down and life coming up. In Jesus, we are destined to life. No, not the way some cheap prosperity preacher would make it, that it's all about earthly riches and all about self-advancement and all about self-promotion. I'm talking about promoting Jesus. I'm talking about advancing the kingdom. I'm talking about seeing God's purposes on earth worked out through us. When God touched Miriam, and told her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, she recognized there's favor. It's the Greek word charis that sometimes is translated grace, but it also means favor and divine help. She was specially favored. The favor of the Lord was on Jesus according to the scriptures. David found favor in the Lord. It goes on and on like that. And that favor, that consciousness of the goodness and the love of God, that we are blessed with spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, translates out to something in us where we now say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. Where he sees your tears shed in private, where you're so desperate to see a breakthrough, you're so desperate to see your kid saved or your kid come back to God. And that's dear to him. That's dear to him. You see the favor and blessing of God coming down in different ways. When the little things, when no one's looking at all, that he sees, he looks down and he sees that act of obedience when no one was watching. He sees when you said no to sin. And there's this divine pleasure. If we can walk in that consciousness, it is life transforming. And it causes us to bear much fruit. He has destined us, John 15, to bear much fruit, which means the fruit of the Spirit, and which also means the fruit of producing changes in people's lives, producing disciples. We are born to reproduce, as Dawson Trotman said. And it goes back to what we talked about last week on this Tuesday broadcast. By the way, Dawson Trotman was founder of The Navigators, a great disciple-making organization and group. We are born to reproduce, and as we walk in divine favor, those that couldn't reproduce can reproduce. Those who are barren in one area of their lives begin to be fruitful. It's the favor, the grace, the blessing of God. And out of that, our lives become productive. We may be hated by people. We may go through many difficulties for the gospel. But when the favor of God is on you, you will see blessing come. You will see the dreams and goals and promises that God has put in your heart come to pass. I want to encourage you to believe him and to confess that he is good. And because he is good, all goodness can flow to you and through you to glorify him in this world. More to come. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here as we focus on walking in the favor of God. I'm actually going to go through some scripture in the second hour as well. So if you go online later, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can catch both hours. If you missed my interview with Daniel Kalenda, then please do listen. You'll be blessed to hear how the Lord has used him preaching Jesus literally to millions and seeing millions of people come to faith in Africa in recent years. It's the gospel. It's Jesus doing the work. Why not? Why not? Jesus said the harvest is ripe. He said that 2,000 years ago. 866-34-TRUTH. Sat in Boston. You know, Sat, when you have a name like that, it means that it sticks out in my mind, which means I remember we had a nice chat when you called in to differ with some of my issues with John Crowder. So
yeah, that's correct.
All right. Well, yeah, the different names stick out in my mind. So nice to hear from you again, Seth. How you doing, man?
Yeah, just fine. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
So a contribution that I was hoping to make is I see a lot of discouragement in the body of Christ because, you know, a person would observe the type of grace or favor that's put on someone for their, you know, a different person's unique calling or function in the body of Christ, and kind of summing up their own conclusions that if I don't have that particular grace, then, you know, God isn't as interested in me. And I think it's a powerful thing to understand there's kind of two realms of favor. One, the kind of enjoyment and happiness that God has about every person who loves Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, the unique grace and the favor that he puts on someone when they hear his calling and begin to move in it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of we can compare ourselves to ourselves and say, well, how can God be with me? I'm not preaching to millions. Or how can God be with me? I don't have 11 children who are all geniuses. Or how can God be with me? I'm not seeing miracles happen every day. I absolutely agree with that, and it's an important distinction to make. But here's my question. Doesn't God have a calling on each of our lives, and doesn't he put some kind of dream or vision or burden into each of us as his children that as we walk with him, he wants to see fulfilled through us?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think for myself, you know, it's dialed back to resting on that foundation of, you know, first of all, his acceptance and the favor that was obtained through Jesus dying on the cross and me receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, you know, through that nearness with God, and instead of, you know, feeling excluded from something, but through that nearness and that initial step of favor that he releases, you know, widespread, receiving, you know, that personal clarification so that if it's me sharing with this one person at a coffee shop, all of a sudden I'm rejoicing instead of, like you said, comparing myself to another.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, receiving and that further revelation for that to open into whatever else God would dream about for my life.
Right. There's something somehow where we have to understand the smile of God on us in terms of,
yeah,
that's my boy, that's my girl. And then with that, because we have been born to reproduce, there's something that's supposed to come out of our lives, either as a friend or as a witness or through prayer or through public ministry or through giving or through believing, something because there are no clones and duplicates in the body of Christ. I've said for many years it's not the corporate blob, but the corporate body. The nail on the pinky has a distinct role, just like the mouth has a distinct role. We may give one more attention than the other, but they each have their distinct role. And if we can have that understanding, that's my boy, that's my girl, which of course produces in us a desire to please the Lord and do the right thing, then we will see that fruitfulness. And it'll be the fruitfulness we're called to, so there'll be satisfaction with it. You know, for example, a teacher gets one level of satisfaction from a calling, and a worship leader another, and a young mom another, and a street preacher another. And it's all just being in our niche, who God made us to be. So amen, and it's a good contribution to make. I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah. One last thing that I found when I studied the subject of grace and favor in the New Testament. The actual word for grace, you know, the root word for charis, it actually means delight or joy. So, I mean, to me, the mark for me that I am conscious of God's favor first starts with I understand that he's happy about me and that he has made me happy about him. And that was it. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Yeah, just to hang on for 1 second. Of course, the question is, can we grieve him? In other words, if we paint a picture of an always happy, only happy God, then we miss part of the picture, because relationship means there can be joy, there can be shared grief. The word tells us not to grieve the Spirit. But there is that sense, as my life belongs to him, of that divine pleasure that's so important for us to get. And charis is actually the word from which we get charismatic. It's that impartation of empowerment to serve him and please him. Hey, Sat, nice to hear from you, and thanks for listening, buddy.
Yeah, have a great day. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Hey, if you call in and your name is an unusual name, just remember, I'll remember you. Now, don't make it up. If you're John or Joe or Mary, just be who you are. But do you honestly believe that God really cares about you as an individual? I saw this great acrostic. It was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. And the way it was is it just took a letter from each word going straight down, and there it spelled Valentine. Do you really believe that God loves you? That Jesus meant it when he said, no greater joy has this, or no greater love than a man lays down his life for his friends, which means he looks at us as friends. We were enemies. But through the gospel, he makes us friends. He wants to be your friend. And as a friend, you give him your loyalty, your love, your whole life, spirit, soul, body. And with that sense, not that he's again, bad, always bad, raining on your parade, but know that there can be a smile of God on your life and you can actually experience it. I'm looking at an email that was sent in. Dr. Brown, I can't thank you enough for your ministry and the impact you have through radio and the books you have written. I continually get to see the fruit of what you're doing. My pastor and his wife are both grads from your ministry school. And he goes on with talking about seeing the changes in lives of our students as they host a special event called Immersion and see them being touched, come in on fire for Jesus, returning the next year even deeper in love and passion for Jesus. It's an overwhelming joy to see these kids so eager to serve the Lord and see that they're being fed the truth without compromise for the sake of the gospel. Friends, by God's grace, we're producing fruit. Our grads are producing fruit all around the world. Our grads are producing fruit here in America, making a difference. We're reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and we're stirring the waters for Jesus' revolution here in America, but we can't do it on our own. So once again, if you believe in what we're doing, if you can stand with me this week, your gifts are being multiplied, and we need to do our best to meet some major obligations this very week, just a few more days to do it. So don't sit on the sidelines. Do what you can. Sow into this work. My thank you will be a signed copy of my Revolution book. It's a small thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line, how good is God? How wonderful is the Lord? How bright is the light of his countenance? How deep is his incredible love? That's the goodness, that's the love, that's the brightness, that's the light he wants to pour out on you. Jesus always walked with the smile of the Father on his life. Having the favor of the Lord is all we need. How do we get it? How do we live in it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Favor of the Lord. If you have the favor of the Lord, if you have the smile of God on your life, if you have the blessing of Almighty God on your life, what else do you need? Does it matter if the media is against you? Does it matter if the government is against you? Does it matter if other professing Christians are against you? Does it matter if the militaries of the world are against you? If you have the favor, the blessing, the smile of the Lord, isn't that ultimately what you need? If God says, I am with you, what more could you possibly ask for? If God says, I am against you, do all the armies of the world make a difference? Does all the money in the world make a difference? Does having the favor of the media and every government in the world and all the people in the world make any difference if God says he's against you? What we need to understand is how to walk in the loving favor of the Lord. How to walk in consciousness of his goodness so that as recipients of his goodness, we can bring life and healing and hope to a dying world. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, this teaching day, this day of opening up the scriptures. On Tuesdays, we focus on Bible, doctrine, theology, apologetics, practical living. And we're going to open up the scriptures and talk about things very, very practically today. The first half hour, I interviewed Daniel Kalenda, one of our grads who now leads Christ for All Nations. He has literally seen millions of people come to faith in Africa. He just turned 30 years old, and it's by the grace and favor of the Lord, the particular calling on his life, but it's God who does the work. And I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want to build your faith, hopefully change wrong perspectives and build into good perspectives. If you have a question about how this works out, or something that you think is helpful to contribute, by all means, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Can I read to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verses I've often meditated on in Hebrew and chewed on and repeated to myself? Just the Word of God is precious. There are some passages of Scripture that are more meaningful to us than others. And this is one that's, for many years, been especially meaningful to me. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you prosperity, or bring you well-being, shalom. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now, I'm going to read a bit more in a moment. But these words, win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. How? By doing what's right. How? By honoring the Lord. How? By putting him first. By walking in the light that you have. Not like a slave living under a master's tyrannical rule and not knowing when the master's going to blow hot or cold or be nice one day or cruel the next day, but living with a sense of I'm a child of God and I have the great extraordinary privilege of living for him, serving him, doing his will. And his joy is to look down in your life and to say, that's my boy, that's my girl, in such a way that the world can see that the smile of God is on you. In the midst of living in this world like everybody else, it will be evident that God is with you. How do we live in the favor of the Lord? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the end of the last hour, a call came in, and I saw Dwight, who's taking our calls today. I saw that he was talking to someone for a while, but didn't know what it was about. She never came on the air, and the show ended. And she, as it's getting explained to me now off the air, she went through a real bad time. She said that she experienced traumatic abuse at her workplace, and for whatever the reason was, and she's a devout believer, how would something like that happen? Where is the favor of God? I want to address that question. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Let me first take a moment to clarify something again. We all will go through difficult times in this world. Jesus said in John 16:33 that in the world there will be trouble, there will be tribulation, there will be pressure, there will be opposition. But he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So, there is opposition, there is difficulty, there is a place in Jesus of overcoming, there is a place in Jesus where no matter what comes our way, God can turn it for good. Now here's the way I would look at it, okay? If I was in this dear woman's shoes, I don't know the details, I don't know anything that happened, I don't know the cause of it, but let's just say she loves the Lord, she's doing the right thing, she gets opposed, she gets mistreated, she gets the short end of the stick, she gets fired, she gets taken advantage of, whatever it is, okay? Now, you say, well, where's the favor of the Lord? I honestly believe if you continue to honor the Lord, that may be just a chapter in a longer book. If you continue to honor the Lord and use this as an opportunity to grow, use this as an opportunity to overcome bad attitudes, use this as an opportunity to rejoice in the midst of hardship, that you will see the favor of the Lord demonstrated. You'll see things that were meant for evil turn for good. You'll see people who opposed you come back and want to serve and help you and work with you. You'll see, not that we want to see damage and hurt come to our enemies, but you'll see that God will show his favor. We need to keep our attitudes such that even in the worst of circumstances, when it looks like we're getting mistreated, when it looks like we're getting abused, when maybe we are getting mistreated and abused, that if the favor of God is on our lives, if we're God's child, that we can believe him to intervene in the midst of our situation, to show his goodness in the midst of it. You say, how? That's why we're looking to the Lord. To have that sense, no matter what's going on, I'm your kid. I'm your child. You love me, Father. You want to do good for me. Oh, it may not always be good the way the world looks at good in terms of earthly position and earthly prosperity and earthly reputation. But for sure, if we say, Father, the thing that matters to me more than anything else in this world is not being great and mighty and having a lot, but pleasing you. The thing that matters to me more than anything in this world is that my life brings you joy, that my life brings you pleasure, that our relationship is a source of joy to you. When you make that your goal, friends, you will see a holy reciprocation. It begins with heaven. It begins with God. It begins by God saying, I'm sending Jesus to die for you. When? Romans 5. When we were yet enemies, Messiah died for us. Isn't that what's written? While we were enemies, he comes to reconcile us to God. He doesn't come because we're in right relationship. He comes because we're in wrong relationship. We're out of relationship. We're spiritually dead. We're separated. We are, according to Ephesians 2 and Colossians 1, we were at enmity with God in our mind through wicked works. In the second chapter of Colossians, it emphasizes the state that we were in. We were slaves to disobedience, according to Romans 6. And when Jesus dies for us, he dies so that we will go from enemies to friends. And the very best friend you should have in this world, when I say you should, I don't mean you better do this. I mean you have this incredible opportunity to have the very best friend that you have to be Jesus, Yeshua. even closer than your own spouse, closer than a parent, closer than a brother or sister, closer than an earthly best friend. And he is a friend for life. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's proven it out. And he didn't do it out of a sense of obligation. He saw a list of everyone that had to be saved. And he saw your name on it. Said, him? Her? I got an eye for them? Oh, not her. Come on. Yes, Jesus, you have to die. All right. Not that guy. I'm not done. No. We're all enemies. We were all, outside of Jesus, wicked. And our best day, he died for us in our wickedness. He died for us in our sin. That is an extension. That is a manifestation of the depth of God's love. Now, as his child, as someone who's been reconciled, as someone who's no longer an enemy, as someone who's no longer on the outside, how should we live? And I've had something deep in my own heart. I believe part of it was the way I was raised, so loved and affirmed by my mom and dad. And part of it was relationship with the Lord and just what he did in my life over a period of years. But I have lived for most of my believing life, which is 40 plus years now, with a sense of special favor that I'm chosen and loved and there's a special purpose for my life. And I believe that every one of us should feel that way. Here, you have several children, and you love them all equally, and yet each one is special in a different way. We had the family over, both of our daughters and their husbands, and each with their two grandkids, so the family all together for Thanksgiving. And the youngest one, Riley, 5 years old, very feisty, very cute, very independent in terms of she's always got a different angle on things. Just a gorgeous little girl. I'm glad that I don't have to discipline her. 5 years old. And she was going around the table during Thanksgiving and saying which of us she liked. Because one day she may want to hug you and you carry her around. And the next day she's like, nah. She's just one of those kids. So she's just going around the table. I like you. I like you. I like you. I like you. Actually, she went around the whole table and liked all of us. And then, really loud, and I like me too. No lack of self-confidence there. Obviously, in a certain sense, she feels special. She feels special. When I was in high school and then in college, I played in the band and orchestra, and my folks would come when we were doing a performance. We'd have to do a couple of concerts a year, and I played percussion, so sometimes it would be just playing the timpani. Sometimes it would be a detailed snare drum piece because I was, you know, a good percussionist. Sometimes it would be playing the xylophone because I learned organ also when I was younger, so I could relate to the keyboard well and things like that. And you know, I'm looking out at the audience. I think back to being in high school, and everybody's out there. Most of the kids have parents that are out there, right? And you get up and you're in your suit and tie because you have to. Just remind me of another story. I'll come back to that one in a minute. But you're in your suit and tie, and you know, ladies in their dresses, and we look out, and I'm looking out at the same audience that everybody else is looking out at, but when I would make eye contact with my mom and dad, my dad would always smile and wave at me. And of course I would wave back, and I never noticed any of the other parents doing that. And I never noticed anybody else in the orchestra waving back either, but it's like, that's their boy. That's their boy. With my mother not professing faith years ago, when I would debate a rabbi, she'd be rooting for me. That's her boy. And her friends that she used to play Mahjong with, a game that you may know about, many of you wouldn't know. She played that with her friends, the other ladies in the community. That they would listen, and they'd also root for Rose's son. There is a sense I had, I'm special. Please understand me. I think all of us should have that with the Lord. Because you are special. Because there's no one else like you. And when we sin, we hurt him because he loves us. We can grieve him because he cares so deeply about us. But his posture towards us is he wants to bless, he wants to favor, he wants to do good, he wants to smile on your life. And that starts in the heart on the inside. What I was laughing about was remembering before I was saved one time, taking a lot of hallucinogenics immediately before the concert, coming in my jacket and tie with my long hair, and going to play this piece where I had to play notes, and suddenly the notes were dancing on the page, and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. The whole page of music became a giant hallucination, and I just started playing all around what I was playing, and I remember the conductor looking at me, the band leader looking at me. He knew what was going on, just gave a big smile. Thank God for his mercy and his salvation. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's come at this from another angle as we talk about the favor of the Lord. By the way, very important broadcast tomorrow. I really want to share my heart with you and talk about promises of God and talk about our calling in this world and even some of the vision that burns in me. I believe it'll stir your own heart. So if you don't normally tune in on Wednesday, see if you're able to, and call a friend and encourage them to tune in to tomorrow's broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. So let me come at this issue of favor from another angle. I expect to be blessed. It is my expectation that as a child of God, I will be blessed. I want to make this clear. That is blessing in the midst of trial, blessing in the midst of testing, blessing in the midst of pressure, blessing in the midst of calls to sacrifice, blessing in the midst of requirement to live in discipline, blessing in the midst of obedience. I'm not talking about just whatever happens, I expect blessing, or there are no consequences to wrong behavior or life. No, no, quite the contrary, quite the contrary. Love begets more love. When the favor of the Lord's on you, you just want to give him your all. Lord, you're wonderful. You're more than I could ever dream of. There's no one like you, and I just want to please you and serve you and give myself to you. That's what it produces, doesn't it? That's just a human reaction to love. So nothing I'm talking about is an excuse for sin. I mean, it's so foreign to everything I'm saying. I can't imagine us thinking like that at all. What I am saying is, I expect blessing. I expect that things God's called me to do, things God's burdened me to do, things he's placed in my heart, that they're going to happen. That when I'm on radio, people are going to be blessed, and that the Lord's going to open the door for me to be on radio for many years and many stations. That when he calls me to write a book, that the book is going to touch people's lives. That when I go to teach a class, that there's going to be blessing on that. That there's going to be blessing on personal relationships. That there's going to be blessing on my family. I expect that because God is good and he's gracious and he's kind and he's loving and he wants to do good. Now, I'm not talking about having everything go our way perfectly in this world. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about just some carnal prosperity. Look, some of the most blessed people in the world have died as martyrs. Some of the most blessed people in this world have nothing in the way of earthly possessions. Some of the most blessed people in this world are hated. And yet they are deeply blessed. The smile of God is on them. They enjoy relationship with God. And they have that sense of God being with them. And they see fruit. Things he's put in their hearts, things he's called them to do, they see fruit. I do not live with this sense of uphill climb every day. What can I do to get God to somehow like me? It's the exact opposite. It's this sense of the goodness and grace and mercy and kindness of the Lord will follow me. Psalm 23, the word for follow there in other contexts can mean chase after. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's what I believe. Because I'm a child of God and Jesus shed his blood for me. And that produces in me a desire to serve him and please him and live for him to the very core of my being. favor, the favor of the Lord. I want to open that up more. I want to answer your questions. I want to give some more scripture as we go on in the broadcast. Chip in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Chip. You're on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, my question is, when we say in the favor of God, you know, I think we think the favor of God means our life is running smooth and all our bills and needs are met. And it says that we ought to be the light of the world. What exactly does the light do? It shines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense of the word, we're put here to shine. Well, the only thing that really shines in this world is adversity. Do you agree with that?
No. Sometimes going through adversity causes us to shine. But to shine means two things. It means to manifest the goodness of the Lord. It means to demonstrate his grace. It means to touch hurting, needing people. It means to expose sin. But, you know, I've said repeatedly, we will go through tribulation and hardship in this world. We will go through difficulty, and that needs to be something that we then turn into an area for growth. So I agree with you that many times through the trying of our faith, we grow in grace, we become more and more like Jesus. But sometimes we think that all we can expect is bad stuff happening, whereas we're supposed to somehow manifest the goodness of God in our own lives, that God's smile is on our lives, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as written in Ephesians, the first chapter. And that blessing produces joy and life in us that then produces the fruitfulness. God put us here for a purpose. God put us here to make a difference. And when his favor is on us, we will see his plans for our lives succeed. Hey, Chip, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I want to say again clearly, my point is not that we go skipping our way through this world. My point is not that there's no challenge, no adversity, no difficulty, but that in the midst of it, there's blessing. In the midst of it, there's blessing. In fact, Reverend Tom, stay with me through the break, because that was a perfect example, the one you want to bring up. I don't want to steal your thunder, but I was going to go in that direction. I want to leave it to you to bring it up in terms of what the favor of God looks like on someone's life. Let me read again from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you shalom. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. That's favor. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. That's favor. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's favor. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. That's favor, too. No matter where you are, in a dungeon, in a prison, out of work, in a sick bed, the favor of God can come to you, and the smile of God can be upon your life, and it would make a tangible difference. Friends, let me encourage you once again, if you believe in what we're doing in the Line of Fire, if you believe that my voice on radio is making an important difference, then stand with me. This is listener supported, and we need you, the listeners, to say, we support you, and we want you on the air, and this is a critical week for us. So thanks for standing with us. I believe the favor of God is upon me and the Line of Fire, and I thank you in advance for standing with us. So call this number right now, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size will be multiplied through a generous donor. But today's the day to call, 1-800-278-9978, or just go online to our homepage, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Become a monthly torchbearer. Send it a one-time gift. My thank you is a signed copy of my Revolution book. Just a small token of my appreciation.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Favor. The favor of the Lord. What do you need other than the favor of the Lord? What do you need other than the Lord saying to you, I'm pleased with you, I'm with you? What more could you possibly ask for? Is there anything we need beyond that? If someone said, okay, I can give you favor with the richest man in the world, and he'll give you all the money you need for whatever you feel you're supposed to do. I could give you favor with the media, and your message, your face will be all over the world. I can give you favor with world governments, and you can have the influence you want to have, or you can have the favor of God. Friends, nothing more important, nothing greater. When you have the favor of the Lord in you in private, God will reward you in public. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire on this Tuesday teaching day as we're opening up the Word and talking about the favor of the Lord and how the favor of the Lord makes a massive difference. 866-34-TRUTH, if you've got a question, clarification, or something you want to contribute to the discussion, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Before I get to a call that subject I was about to bring up, but I want my caller to bring it up instead. Think of Jesus at his baptism as he's immersed in water. Luke, the third chapter, right? As he's praying, Luke, in a number of cases, gives us details about Jesus praying at different times that the other gospel authors don't mention. As he was praying, heaven opened. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke, "This is my Son whom I love. This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And the same thing in Luke 9 at the Transfiguration. Transfiguration, Jesus is with his disciples. What's he doing? Luke tells us he was praying. They went on the mountain to pray, and as he was praying, he was transfigured. It happens to us as we pray, we are changed. As we pray, heaven opens over us. The cloud comes down, and the Father speaks again. What does he say? "This is my Son whom I love. This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. When the Lord speaks that, "That's my boy. That's my girl. I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with her." Listen to what they have to say. That's all you need. Whether it's being a mom in your home, whether it's being a teacher in a school, whether it's being a preacher overseas, whether it's being a worship leader, whoever you are, whatever you're doing. Friends, I believe God for the favor of God on this radio broadcast, because this was not my idea. In fact, please tune in tomorrow. Your hearts will be stirred. You'll be challenged. You'll be stirred on tomorrow's broadcast. This was not my idea. I didn't come up with this plan. I'm going to advance my ministry. I'm going to promote this. No, it's a calling from the Lord, and I expect favor and blessing because this is about him. This is about doing his will, and how can I help others if I myself am not helped? How can I demonstrate the goodness of the Lord if I'm not experiencing the goodness of the Lord? How can I bring joy and life to others if I'm not walking in that myself? How can I bless others if I myself am not blessed? And actually, the last thing in my mind as I say any of that has to do with finances. Finances plays a necessary part in this role, but I'm talking more than anything in that relationship with the Father. I expect blessing. I expect blessing in my life. I likened it earlier in the day, the first hour, I likened it to the sun just shining on you. It's a miserable day outside. The weather is terrible. It's raining. It's dank. It's dark, whatever. Overcast day. But the sun shines through the clouds and shines on you wherever you go. Oh, we will have our share of pain and difficulty in this world, but with the smile of God, with the sun shining on us. All right, Reverend Tom, you're next when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I tell you honestly the attitude that I live with? Not because I'm special, but because God's special. Can I tell you the attitude that I live with? You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. In other words, if my life is right with the Lord, and I'm really honoring the Lord, and the pleasure and favor of the Lord is upon me, that whatever someone does to me, to hurt me, to do evil to me, God will turn for greater good. God will turn for greater good. That there may be a very difficult chapter, and that's part of the growth, that's part of the adversity, that's part of overcoming, that's part of becoming more broken, that's part of depending on the Lord more. But ultimately, with people, the world, Satan, mean for evil, God will turn for good. For whom? Those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That means you and me. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the favor of the Lord today. I want to encourage you. It is the goodness of the Lord that makes the difference, the blessing of the Lord that makes the difference, the grace of the Lord that makes the difference, not my massively good efforts. Whatever efforts we put in are in response to the goodness of the Lord. Reverend Tom in Boston, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, blessings on you, my brother. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Well, great. I was listening to you earlier, and I know that you were saying that you expect favor, and I believe that favor is going to come looking for you because you're looking for favor. And I wanted to say, I couldn't listen the first hour that you were on, and I regret that I couldn't listen. But I know you're talking about the favor of God, and I think that this is really a huge, huge topic, and can't thank you enough for talking about that, because a lot of people ask me, how can they have the favor of God in their lives? And I think one of the great examples, Dr. Brown, from the Old Testament, a great story, believe starting in, I'm going to say, chapter 37 of Genesis, somewhere around there, is the story of Joseph and his brothers.
Yep.
And it would seem, you know, until you get to the end of the story, or somewhere around chapter 45, I believe, where Joseph, I think, kind of realizes at that point, and it maybe the veil is pulled back, why he had gone through all the things he had gone through, that he had a destiny and a purpose for being here. And God was trying to work that out in his life. But if you look at some of the events of his life, sometimes Christians, I was thinking about something that you had said earlier about the lady who was at work, who was being persecuted and
just for those that didn't hear that, a woman had called. We didn't get to take her call. She just talked off the air. But for the benefit of others, yes, she had described to Dwight, who had taken her call, that if the favor of God is on her life, why did she go through this traumatic experience at work and get mistreated? Now, again, I don't know the situation or the circumstances. She said she's a devout believer. Why did this happen? And I said, just look at it as a chapter. Rejoice in the midst of it. Do good. And you can look back six months, a year, 5 years later and see God has been with me. God has been gracious to me and helped me.
Well, exactly. And Joseph, it would appear, I can think of at least 10 tests that he had gone through, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of these things, but among them was the pit test, where he was thrown into the pit, and it seemed abandoned by his brothers, and you would certainly think that, this guy can't possibly have the favor of God upon his life, but he did, and he ends up down in Egypt, and there's a number of other tests that he went through, a purity test. Was another one. He was thrown into a prison unjustly.
Obviously when he's young, when he's 17, he makes mistakes. People say that he had the anointing, but he didn't have the wisdom at that time. So those kind of things happen. And obviously he had to be broken. He had to grow. He had to learn through adversity, as a caller shared earlier in the program. But on the flip side, God would raise him up, and then another pit. And then God would raise him up. Then it gets even worse. And then suddenly he's raised up, and that's where he is the rest of his life. So what we have to understand is that the chapter of the book that we're in might be very dark and difficult, discouraging. seeming like there isn't favor, but if we'll honor the Lord and love him and just recognize he's good and his goodness and mercy endure. He's good and his goodness and mercy endure. I'm blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus. I'm a child of God. That attitude carries us, and before we know it, we're looking back at things that seem like loss and tragedy, and there's no way we can even explain it, and yet somehow he's with us. Somehow there needs to be evidence in our lives that God is with us. And I don't mean that people have to try to work that up. The reverse, that it's something we can believe for, because he's called us to be blessed, not in the American carnal get ahead, bigger is better way, but in a way that demonstrates his life in us, Jesus in us, making a difference. And we should, in that sense, expect blessing. And in the midst of things going wrong, if we say, Lord, you're good, I worship you, I praise you, I don't understand why this is happening, it's discouraging, it looks bad, but I'm going to worship and praise you anyway, it's amazing how everything turns around as we do that.
Well, that's certainly true, and I think that sometimes perseverance demands that we fight the good fight of faith while we wait. And I also believe that in order to reach our destiny as Christians, what we want to do is come to the place where we know and love our Bible. And I think that during those dark chapters, as you say, if we rely upon God's word and the power of his might, that he will see us through this thing. And I think that we can always have that assurance within our hearts that he hasn't left us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we've just got to come to the point where we trust really in the power of his word and the power of his might.
Yeah, he's promised it, and that's what we come back to. In fact, I want to talk about some of those things tomorrow. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling and weighing in and reminding us about Joseph. I was going to bring up Joseph and say, look, the favor of God was on him. There was special favor on his life, and yet he went through miserable times and then ends up being one of the heroes in Scripture, mightily used by the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Ozzy in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
God bless you.
Bless you.
I really feel special and must be the favor of God because I've never called someplace and gotten right through like this.
Well, I saw it, and you know what I said to myself? You just called, but I want to take the call anyway. So there we go. There we go.
Praise God. Yes. So my question is there a difference between the favor of God and the blessing of God?
I believe the favor of God will always bring the blessing of God, that there are two sides of the same coin,
mm-hmm.
that when there's favor on us, then we're blessed. When there's favor on us and we do what the Lord's called us to do, that we see blessing. Perhaps you could say that the blessing is the tangible sign of favor.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing is the manifestation of favor. And it can come in difficult times. It can come at times when it seems it's the opposite of what we expect and he could surprise us with blessing. It could come in just he's called us to do certain things, and as we grow in grace and become more and more like Jesus, we see his purposes manifest more and more, and you look and say, hey, I'm blessed. My life truly is blessed, even though I'm in this world, and in this world we have struggles and difficulties, that because of the favor of God on me, I experience blessing. And that should be our attitude. A lot of times, Ossie, in America, we translate it into carnal prosperity. I know everyone has to pay bills and meet needs, but we translate it into carnal prosperity as if the whole sign of blessing is I live in the best house and have the best car. And we recognize plenty of people live in nice houses and nice cars, have nice cars, and they're not blessed. But we should be able to look at our lives and over a period of years say, I'm a blessed person.
Right.
There's evidence of the favor and the smile and the goodness of God, and I'm a blessed person. And the favor of God is evidently on me that, as I've said earlier, you know, I feel special. I feel special to the Lord, and I think we all should,
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't have favorites in terms of Jesus died for this one gladly and another one grudgingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that same love. And the demonstration of his love, while we were yet sinners, Messiah dies for us, and now he makes us his friends. How should we feel as friends of God? How special should we feel that we have access to the throne and that we're his own kids? And because of that, how much more do we say, Lord, here I am. Use my life for your purposes, for your glory.
Amen. We, my sister and I, well, she's got this thing. And she's actually found a badge that says, I'm God's favorite. But we have this saying where we've lived in a fog because, you know, we're in the world and we experience the things of the world, the tragedy really has not touched us in that sense because we're living in the favor of God. That's the fog.
Yeah, and yeah, I likened it earlier to sunshine. Now there's the different thing of just being covered. But yeah, you're God's favorite. If we can grab that, take hold of that, believe that, I'm God's favorite. He loves me. How? What does that produce in you except a desire to love him everything? Thanks, Aussie.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, experiencing the favor and the goodness and the love and the kindness of the Lord. Not because I am great, because God is great, and his greatness, his goodness is what inspires me to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. It's what inspires me to draw close to him. It's what inspires me to give my life for him. It's what inspires me to make a difference while I yet have breath. Again, I encourage you to tune in tomorrow if you don't normally tune in on Wednesdays because of schedule. Do your best to. Your heart will be stirred, and I want to share more of what burns in my own heart as we stand together to make a difference and talk about God's idea, what he initiated, what he spoke, and what we can do about it. Look, it's good to be conscious of our failings in terms of not making excuses for them, in terms of asking the Lord for mercy, in terms of being quick to repent, but that flows out of a revelation of his goodness. If you always think, I'm bad, I'm just bad, I'm just, you're going to stay like that. You're going to find yourself constantly in a rut. If instead you say, Lord, I am yours, and I know you love me, and Lord, when I fall short, I'm quick to turn to you and do what's right and repent so that my life can be a pattern of godly living. We should have at the foundation the sense of favor because Jesus died for us, favor because we're God's children. When you got saved and you realized you were forgiven, how many good works had you done at that moment? When you really understood that God loved you, when you really understood his goodness towards you, how many good works had you done at that point? How many things had you done to earn his favor? Zero. You received a gift from grace, and now your life belonged to him. That is the beginning of the relationship. The beginning of the relationship. From there, you say, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me, not to earn his favor, but because you have it. Meditate on the scriptures about the goodness of God. Meditate on the reality of being blessed in every spiritual place with Jesus, in the heavenlies with Jesus. And then say, Lord, let that translate out into my life so the world can see and know that you love me. Let me grab one more call. Sean in Middlesex, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Happy Valentine's Day, Dr. Brown.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
When you're talking about the favor of God, I think of our brother, Dr. Frank Turek, who obviously has been blessed of the Lord, but also he's felt the sting of the world also.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's why I keep emphasizing it's the final chapters that matter. In other words, if I was Frank, and he's had a great attitude through this one, I just over lunch press him, how are your finances, what's going on? Because that's how he brought in the good amount of his money for secular work and then helped underwrite the ministry he was doing through that. He's just fine, fine, fine. When I talk about, man, he's gone through a lot, it's like, it's nothing. I've been martyred. I haven't had my, you know, hands and feet chopped off. This is nothing. So his attitude continues to be great. He doesn't seem embittered towards the others. So that's a sign of favor. And then look at what's happened. This testimony has gone across the nation. This testimony has made a difference now in the nation. And what's going to happen as he continues to honor the Lord, is that he'll see that what Cisco Enterprises or Bank of America, these others, did wrongly by discriminating against him because he didn't support same-sex marriage, separate from the work he was doing there, that it'll be the best thing that ever happened to him. That's how we live under the favor of God, that whatever Satan or people, the world, mean for evil, God turns for good. That's why my mentality is ultimately, if I really honor the Lord, nobody can hurt me. If I really honor the Lord, you know, they put me in prison like Paul. Well, from prison, you grow in grace and you lead others to Jesus. And in prison, you write letters and those letters now get used around the world. You know, John Bunyan, they put you in prison and you write Pilgrim's Progress and these other books. You get fired and now God opens more opportunities to you for the gospel because there's favor. You go through a hard time, you have nothing, you're cast down in this world, praise the Lord. He's bigger, he's better. Whatever comes my way, I'm blessed by the Lord, and I'm going to expect good to come out of it. So it's not the American dream type stuff where we're all going to be celebrity superstars living in mansions. That's a sign of favor. We might be fired from jobs. We might be cast out by family. We might be rejected and maligned. But what it will produce is more and more and more grace to do his will and more fruit. And we'll have to hold back the giddiness sometimes because the joy will be so great as we see how God turns things around for his glory. That's favor. That's what makes the difference. That's how you go to the cross like Jesus and end up with the highest name in the universe because of obedience and favor. So it's a great example to bring up. I think it's very relevant, actually, Sean.
Thank you. I also think that the Lord, just as he knows all the hairs on our heads, he also knows what each of us can take as far as the sin of the world as coming down on us. So
yeah,
some of us
protective.
Could go to jail, some of us could be beaten, some of us could be maligned or lose our jobs or whatever, but he knows what each one of us could take.
Yeah, and he is very, very gracious, long-suffering, and kind and tender in the midst of things. Hey, Sean, I got to run, but good talking with you. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. By the way, I don't want to forget. I mentioned yesterday that we had our first protester outside of our church service. The only surprise is that it took so long because of the profile we have, especially with gay activist issues and things like that, especially in our home city. And I reached out to the guy. We talked by phone. It turns out he's a vegan activist. He's actually opposes homosexual practice. He just says they take better care of their bodies. They're more prone to be vegans than we are. He's actually known my ministry for a couple decades and has listened to my debates with rabbis and has some of my books. And so I said, well, let's get together. We're going to actually have a meal at a health food place one of these days. So that was our protest. Friends, we are blessed. We are doing the will of God. I'm talking to you by radio, by the favor of the Lord. And I'm asking you, if you believe God with us, if you believe in what I'm doing, if you say, Mike, your voice needs to be on the air, we need your voice speaking, encouraging, strengthening, imparting, and we believe in the work you're doing in America and around the world, we're asking all of you to stand with us. Again, we're meeting with key people from different radio stations. We are listener supported. We need to tell them, yes, our listeners are supporting us and standing with us. That means each of you, if every one of you do your part, don't worry about how small it is or how large it is. If everyone does a part, we will have every need met, and we are blessed and favored by the Lord. So would you call? My thank you will be a signed copy of my Revolution book for your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or online, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, or give a one-time gift, 1-800-278-9978. Again, my thank you will be a signed copy of my Revolution book. My bottom line today, friends, if the smile of God is on your life, there will be tangible blessing. There will be tangible difference. Live with the sense of being God's boy, God's girl, bringing honor to him, pleasing him, and you will see the pleasure of the Lord in your life.